Sorry, folks. A lot going on. This video I just posted on social. Wow. It's bizarre, the difficulties that people face. You heard that the gentleman living on the north side. This is endemic in America today. Folks battling their neighborhood, just trying to thrive. I mean, he's got abandoned houses and drug dealers and overdoses and has basically been sold. That's an LLC. What the hell does that mean? I mean, some outside investment company owns some house that they can't jack with or can't find the owner. There's about 7,000 to 10,000 abandoned houses in Pittsburgh, and that's just Pittsburgh. And folks have to live around this crap, and the drugs, and the dead bodies, and the rats. And then you get out to areas you think, nah, it's better outside the city. Okay. I just posted a video that would that would contradict that, and it's awful that people have to live in these conditions and can't get any action. This video shows this home. It's like a house of horrors. Patrick is streaming it right now. Rats running everywhere. Windows busted and massive holes in the house. It's ridiculous. We have two people living this nightmare. Hi, Kayla. Hi, Autumn.
Hi, how are you?
Well, this is frustrating as hell, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Kind of, is this Kayla?
Yes.
Okay, we'll grab Autumn next. Kayla.
Okay.
Describe this video you shot for me, which I posted, which is horrendous, where it is and what's going on, how hard this is to manage.
We live in Indiana County, in a little town called Robinson.
Yep.
I've lived in my house next door to this my whole life. It's my childhood home. The people that lived there were not always like that. And then they brought trash in, drugs were there all the time.
Wow.
There was a meth lab in the basement.
No.
We called PSP multiple times. They'd come, take people out sometimes, or like not do anything at all. And then they ended up moving to a different state last year. And like just the druggies that, you know, used to go over there and buy their drugs, you know, they'll go over there and ransack the place and everything. Like they took that back door off. And I was not going in there whatsoever. Whenever I used to go over there, they had duct tape on the floors, you know, and people have fallen through it. We were sitting on our porch the other day, and one of the known drug addicts around here come out, you know, hollering and carrying on. And she was like, I fell through that floor.
What?
And blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, you shouldn't even be in there, but.
It's horrible. And how far is this from your house?
My house, like where the dead rat was, that's my house.
Jesus.
Like we're maybe 15, 20 feet from the house.
Jesus.
If that.
And no one will do anything about this.
We went to our local township. The secretary has been wonderful. She's been trying to help us. Two of the other supervisors have tried. They went to the county. But unfortunately, I called the tax assessment office yesterday. They are making small payments on it, even though they're behind on taxes, so it won't go up for sheriff's sale.
It's a dangerous nuisance property. Who cares if they're making small payments?
Yep. Yeah, they want, my friend offered to buy it from them, and she offered them cash in hand for it. They want to take it. They want $30,000. That's not worth $30,000.
Oh, my God. Autumn.
Yes.
This house is horrifyingly bad. And it's in the middle of this bucolic, beautiful area. It's awful, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I've tried everything to get it condemned. Like we've had issues with the neighbors for years. And then like they all moved. Cause like I honestly contemplated, like I didn't want to give up my childhood home. I grew up here my whole life. You know, I'm rooted here. All my family lives right, you know, down the street and everything. And I didn't want to move, but at one point I about did.
Wow. It's dangerous. Outside of the rats.
They had that fence where that dead rat is. We had to put that fence up because they had two aggressive dogs that one of the people owned, and it attacked my small Shih Tzu not once but twice and about killed it. And then they had a pit bull when it came over in my yard. We were all outside, and it tried to come after my kids.
My God.
It's literally living next to a nightmare. I'm glad that, like, they moved and they left, but... Like, now I need the county, I need them to come in, like, tear this down. Like, it's a huge health risk. Like, what if it, you know, God forbid, like, it would catch on fire or something? Like, what if there's still things in the basement that could blow up and take out my house and the neighbor's house? You know?
And hold on, so people go in there and shoot up now? Still?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And there's a camper, we have, like, a pool, and I have, like, a privacy fence that we had to build up 9.5 feet because they had registered sex offenders living over there. And my kids would be on the ladder trying to get in the pool. And this one gentleman had his hand down his pants and was touching himself while my kids were getting in the swimming pool.
What about the local law enforcement?
They said that, well, they tried to get him in trouble because he didn't report that he was living there. But I don't know if anything ever happened. So we built up the privacy fence like the next day. My dad and my husband and the neighbors came over and helped, and we built it up. And then they moved in a camper. And
I see that.
Yeah. Oh, it's infested. It's disgusting. I wasn't walking over there in that high grass. I was like,
hey,
I can't.
Patrick, you seeing this, man?
Yeah, this is heinous. God. My God. I can't believe we're having to live with this.
And you're powerless to get anyone to give... Now, I'm confused about who actually owns it. Who actually still owns it?
A brother and a sister.
Do you know them?
Yes, I've known them my whole life.
Really?
Yes.
And can you do me a favor? Can you, because now you have my cell and we're all friends now. Do you have contact for them?
No, I was just communicating on Facebook and I blocked them because they were saying very hateful things, and I just don't got time with it. I have 7 kids to raise, a house to take care of.
Wow.
I don't have time for it. And you get one story one time, another story another time, you know.
Did they live there?
No. Nope.
Oh,
they
wow.
up and moved and went to a different state.
Oh, wow. Why do they want the house?
Well, they want somebody they don't work, so they want somebody to give them a nice payday so they can live off of it.
Payday? On that?
Yeah.
This was like $4.
Yeah.
They should pay you.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Let me do this. Let me send me their names and I'll track them down. We'll get some lawyers involved and we'll get someone to sue them. I mean, and why won't the local police do anything?
Honestly, no. I'm not sure. I mean, they were there almost daily.
Wow.
Almost daily, people that had warrants, you know, probation was just actually there not too long ago looking for somebody you know, they were using the house as an address.
Wow. What police department patrols there?
It would be the state police here.
Oh.
We don't have a local township.
That's part of the problem,
police.
My dear. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Send me those names. I'll get on it. We'll get this fixed for it. This is horrible. I'm so sorry. You think in America, you live in the country where everything's wonderful and this is a nightmare in the country, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And like I talked to the lady the other day, you know, I was like, what's going on with this house? And she got all mean and nasty with me and, you know, told me that like if I was a good neighbor, like they've been to me for years, that I would just pay them, you know, what they want. And I'm like, you're funny.
What lady?
Then,
the owner?
The lady that owns the house, yeah.
Well, I need to know how you're contacting her because I need to reach out to her with some attorneys, okay?
Yeah, it was just on Facebook.
All right. Well, we'll do the same thing. Thank you.
Yeah, and I was like, I can't even. I'm like, no.
It's horrible. Thanks, my dear. We're on it. Wow. Wow.
Did you want to speak to Autumn?
No, we're cool. You did
okay.
A great job. I'm going to take it from here, though. We're going to get some aggressive lawyers involved, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank
yeah, because like we can't afford to keep paying Debug and all
no.
these other pest control places to
no.
come out because it's not doing anything.
It's disgusting. Thank you, my dear.
Yeah.
Jesus. Picklesburg starts tonight. Okay. My kids love it. They do. It's cool. I don't get it. It's a bunch of people all jammed together and it's 105 degrees and they drink pickle juice. Hey, whoever came up with the name is brilliant. The marketing is brilliant. My sister's boyfriend's calling my wife and asking her if she's judging the pickle juice drinking contest. It's a phenomenon. Hey, Patrick, this Picklesburg thing has become one of the most popular, highly rated, highly attended events in the country, sir. Why? Why?
It's well marketed. They do a really nice job with it. And... you know, I think people enjoy the hell out of it.
Okay, that's deep. But tell me.
I mean, really.
I've been to it, and it's 200,000 people. I'm not trying to be a jerk or an angry old man. It's 200,000 people elbow to elbow, sweating their asses off with a bunch of food booths. What am I missing? Because, look, they're hitting home runs. But what am I missing that's so unique about it? Why would you come here from Green Bay?
It was cute when it was on one bridge, and I don't enjoy it like it used to.
Well, you're old.
It was great when it was smaller.
All my kids are my man. We have 4 or 5 different friends of my kids sleep in our house starting tonight. Daddy's making me pizza on the smoker. But is it that? Is it anything different, Patrick, than the Arts Festival with food booths and, you know, it's just the shtick,
not really.
Right?
I think it's the shtick.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, there's lots of pickle things and different foods, but no, it's rinse and repeat, honestly.
No,
but
it seems to work.
Well marketed.
God bless them.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I love
a massive
riding my bike
crowd
down there, but. Huh? Yeah, I mean, I love riding my bike down there.
No, you don't.
I go down there every
year. You don't even live here anymore. You don't even count. I want to see video of you riding your bike. He makes this stuff up, Trevin. He rides his bike in a crowd of 200,000 people. Sure you do, Chief.
He could have. I mean,
the trail still goes right under it, and you got to go through it.
Yeah, whatever. Show me video. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it.
Give him proof, Patrick.
I'll pull some up for
give
you in
proof.
The break.
What does Trevin say? I'm not going to let you ruin my joy.
Hey, no, you will not steal our joy. Today you will
our
not
joy.
Steal our joy.
Collective,
well,
the two
I can
of
say
you.
Myself, but you were speaking to Patrick and me, so I would say you will not steal our joy today. And for anybody else listening, you will not steal their joy today.
It's 125 degrees, and you're drinking pickle juice. Yum, yum. Smart. Patrick, true, though, it's become... it wins all these damn awards and stuff, does it not?
It really does.
Yep.
Yeah.
God bless him. I ain't going. Here's the car keys, dear. Why?
Well, every time I've gone down for pickles, the pickles have been run out. Like they're out of them by the time I get down there.
Wow, they run out of pickles.
They do.
It's kind of fun to watch the youngsters drink that pickle juice. I've seen that. It's kind of fun, right?
That the pickle juice cocktails?
Yeah. I saw some kind of pickle beer.
Isn't everything pickled? Like, Like every vendor is, everything is pickles.
Correct? Everything, man. Are you going, Trevin?
I went before. I have actually gone to one day.
You. I don't believe you either. You and Patrick on bikes.
But
streamers and bells.
I went when it was dying down. It was almost over when I went. So that way I get to look at all of the vendors and whatever. They're packing up, but I got to see them.
Wow. Before we, I digress. I thought about this morning because my daughter has all these friends coming in, which is cool. And they're all going down tonight, which is cool. And they love it, which is cool. And I wanted to commend, who came up with the name? Anyone? It's brilliant. Who did it? Do you know? Anyone?
I don't know.
I don't either. I don't know. I don't know either. But it's smart. Before we get to the break, I wanted to mention Trevin. My man, you're quitting on us.
I'm not quitting, man. Patrick, stop with that.
Patrick,
stop with
bailing
that.
On
I'm
us.
Not quitting.
Bailing.
Abandoning
I'm not
us.
Bailing. I'm not doing
Patrick, abandonment.
That.
It hurts, doesn't
Knock
it?
Knock it off, man. Knock it off.
Oh, it's painful.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to miss our show before the show, too.
Not quitting is still going
what
to
do
be.
You, what do you call it?
I'm still going to be around, man. You guys ain't getting rid of me that easy. But I'll be around.
Tell folks what you're doing, because I love it. It's a wonderful thing, wonderful opportunity. I love you for it.
Thank you, and I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. If I hadn't had the opportunity with you and Patrick and from PJ, I wouldn't have it. But traffic reporter for the Odyssey Group. So in the mornings, I'll be doing the reports.
What's your shift, buddy?
4:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m.
4:30 in the morning?
Yes, sir.
Good for you. That's when I get up.
Okay, show me proof, man. I want to see video. I want to see Marty on the treadmill. 4:30 in the morning.
No, I don't. No. I get up at 4:30. Then I go downstairs. I read a bunch of stuff. I post a bunch of stuff.
Right.
I probably don't. No, I don't hit the elliptical trainer till about 5:45.
And for 2 hours.
I usually go until 8 or 8:15. I try to go 2.5 hours.
Okay.
And I'll tell you. I digress here, but I love to sweat, so I put the garage door up, and when it's this humid. There's literally a half gallon of sweat on the floor, which I feel like I've accomplished something when I do that. Just saying. Patrick, I found out the name of the guy who coined the phrase pickleball. I can't find out who coined the term Picklesburg. I think it's a huge success. I am not being sarcastic. It's a massive success, isn't it, Patrick?
Oh, it absolutely huge. And you're right. It does win tons of awards every year. And people come out in droves. What was it? Nearly 200,000 last year?
Hey, Patrick, is it bigger than the furries thing or about the same?
Oh, it's not bigger than the furries.
Yeah,
the furries
it is. Brings Hold on. This is why I want to catch them. I got the numbers. The furries do 24,000. I have the number. The Picklesburg, 200,000. Those furries got their asses kicked. Come on, Patrick. He's Mr. Furry. We'll be right back.
Well,
Weird Al. Wow. My man has legs. He has to have been around for 50 years. Wow. Good for him. Wow. Hey, I didn't do this. AI did this, so. AI says Picklesburg was coined by Lee Frank. Anyone know Lee? It says Lee Frank. I love this. It's actually brilliant. Everybody thinks, well, that's a cool name, and why didn't I think of that? It's kind of like the Big Mac, that kind of thing. I love that. The name is insane. The marketing is insane. I disrespect it because I'm a grumpy old guy when I'm out in 98 degrees and there's 200,000 kids pushing on me. And I'm buying waffle cones that are $75. Other than that, sign me up. The name Pickle, nowhere to park. You're sweating your ass off, but I'm telling you, it's not for me. It's my kids. My daughters, both Pitt students, have a ton. And by the way, this is the demo they crave in America. They have a ton of friends coming in from out of state to go to this thing. So ignore my BS. If you see Patrick on a bike, I'll give you $100. Ever, if you see him on a bike, where he's actually pedaling. Here's the thing about these people with these electric bikes. That's what they do. My sister does that. I went 75 miles today on the electric bike. Yes. Why do you ask? Because it's electric. They don't ride those bikes. Come on. Have you been on one? They weigh like 700 pounds. Just go electric. I digress. Patrick's my man. He knows it. You can't get him on the bike. It's a bet you can't win because he moved to Phoenix. Okay? Now he's a swimmer. God bless him, too. Because his wife kind of sort of has a jaded sense of humor like I do, so she sent me a picture of him swimming. Kind of. On what day was that? Saturday?
Was that Monday?
It was Saturday or Sunday.
Right. Yeah.
What's the temperature out there right now, Patrick?
Right now, it just got to 99.
That is beautiful.
It's 90 in Pittsburgh right now.
We know that. We live here. Don't make us feel like you're okay and there in 99 degrees. It was 120 last week. You're dying. You have typhoons. You had that. What's that big cloud called? The boob? What'd you call it?
Haboob.
The boob. Yeah, the boob. We love having them out there. All right. Let me get back. I digress. I'm rambling with the Picklesburg thing. So this guy, Lee Frank, used to work for the Downtown Partnership. During a 2015 brainstorming session for a new specialty food festival. Nice. Create an event that would draw crowds during quiet summer weekends. Oh, Lee, I apologize. Lee is a woman. Her colleague, Russell Howard, suggested the pickle theme. And Frank Lee, the woman, apologize, Lee, finalized the festival's unique moniker. Wow. And Patrick, for the dummies who don't realize, it really does pay. It ties in so well with the pickle and Heinz and all that stuff. That's obvious. But the name, we think it's really smart, but it's brilliant, is it not, Patrick? I mean, it's caught on like wildfire.
It is. It's one of the best marketing things I've seen coined around here probably in, you know, forever.
Completely agree. Completely agree.
Yeah, the floating Heinz pickle over the festival is kind of the iconic thing that everyone recognizes now.
And to Patrick's point, he mentioned the success. It's now on two bridges, and that's because it has to be. They've had so much success that they've expanded it. And I'm not exaggerating when I tell you they're expecting 200,000 people. I mean, it's insane. And it really is, Patrick, it's a lot of food booths and stuff, but they do have fun with, they have contests and they have music and they do have a...
Oh yeah, there's food, there's crafts, there's music, all kinds of fun things. They do a nice job with it.
They really do.
And it's beyond the two bridges. It's also up on the North Shore.
In Arts, you've got Arts Landing.
Shore thing that gets involved, all those things over there.
Arts Landing is being used, which is absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, that's cool. That'll be neat this year.
And I make these comments about downtown Pittsburgh being unsafe, but not for these big events. And I'm going to tell you why. Disrespect or disregard Pittsburgh as much as you want, but Pittsburgh comps, they don't mess around. They do it right. I've been to 100 events, big events downtown. When there's cops around, there ain't no problems. And when there's a problem, they manage it, which is amazing because they're shorthanded. And oftentimes they order them to work it. They cancel their time off and that sort of thing. and they do it, and it works. It will be, in terms of parking, it might be a pain in the ass, but so what? It's a hell of a day for folks who like that kind of stuff. Now to something a little more serious. I had to say this because he's actually meant a lot to me in this show. And I'm going to ask Patrick a question and he'll know the answer. In the time we've been doing this show, if we ever want an expert on fire or fire safety or an authority figure, who's the police chief that we've interviewed 1,000 times, who always does it, who always does it with class and elegance and does a magnificent job? Who is that, sir?
One man, Fire Chief Darrell Jones.
Damn straight. Class act.
Yep.
I know a bunch of firefighters. I don't know why he's been ordered to retire, which he has. I don't know the minutia of the allegations against him, but I know this, that none of it was criminal. There was stuff floating around about management style or whatever that was, top-down kind of management. I don't know. I just have to tell you my history and Patrick's history. He has been unbelievable. Fire safety. If there's a major fire, he's there, man. He's there in the middle of the night. Maybe they, you know what? Change is good sometimes. I sent him a text yesterday and he said, thank you. I told him he was a great man and that we relied on him because we did. Patrick, the consummate professional and always the expert on 1,000 things, sir, right?
Absolutely. Always shows up.
Yep.
And he's also one of the best advocates for smoke detectors.
That's so true. So I don't know why he's in essence been told to retire. I don't. Quite frankly, firefighters love him and are kind of annoyed by this. And even the union guys were kind of annoyed by this, the way he was kind of sort of pushed out. But it happens. And you know what? He did it with class. And the mayor sent out a nice note. And the chief responded being grateful and thankful. But chief, if you're listening or your friends are listening, we love you, man. He never said no to us. What he may or may not have done, I usually hear, quite frankly. I heard nothing that was what you would call even remotely considered to be inappropriate or illegal. But he's been kind of sort of told to retire, and he is, and God bless him, and good luck, Chief. You did an amazing job for us. It's the best I can tell you. Go Picklesburg. It's a wonderful event. It's just, I just can't stand the crowds and the noise and the heat. I'm not disrespecting them. Pittsburgh Downtown Partnership has done a magnificent job with it. They should be proud of it. They don't care about old guys like me. They care about how my kids are going. And my son loves it. My daughters both love it. And that's really their game. Good for them. I think it's fantastic. I also want to commend the PennDOT. We always pick on PennDOT for how they manage their roads and potholes and all that crap. They've done a magnificent job with the bridge and communication. They've been made available to us 1,000 times. They've been insanely transparent. They've been very, very careful. They handle their business better than any entity or agency I've seen recently, and good for them. And I praise them and admire the hell out of them for doing that. Regarding the team takeovers in the pools, I hope what is being threatened that the Southside Pool ends up being one of these friendly team takeovers. One of my boys sent me a bunch of videos from around the country where these teens took over Austin, and cop got caught between the two cars, almost got killed. And then another cop sent me this team takeover video that they put out that's gone viral of these teens that look like my son, because that's what he is, a teenager. And they're flashing guns with lasers on them. And the thing about kids that age, because I was that age and I did that stupid crap, to not to go viral because we didn't know what the hell that meant, but to get the support, to become one of the guys, become one of the boys. So when we stole cars or broke into things or lit things on fire or that sort of thing, we did it because we were kind of part of a clique and we thought that was cool. Now they do it to go viral. And a cop sent me some videos this morning of these teens with guns, with lasers on them, and they're dancing. And I'll tell you what, it made me sad because someone's going to get killed. It made me horribly sad because at the end of the day, it's awful. And I want to close with this, how much our business has changed. And I sent this to Patrick and a couple of executives in the business. I sent it to my wife and some friends that I have in New York and some security guys. Man, if you've been to 30 Rock, if you've been to Rockefeller Center where they have the Today Show, it's live and you can kind of stand outside the window and wave, and that's fine. And their talent have become big stars, like Al Roker. This morning, and this is what's scary about our business and how people have gotten insane. A guy got past security. Now, this is where these big companies better wake the F up. A guy got past security, burst into the studios live, and tried to go after Al Roker. And then he went onto the set, and then he lunged at Craig Melvin. Really cool guy. Really cool guy, big star. And this happened just after 9 a.m. So my point is, somehow, if you've been there, you think, wow, this is very secure. Somehow some lunatic who wanted to hurt Al Roker and made insanely, what we're told, violent racial slurs toward Craig Melvin, wow, got into the studio, past security. And they tackled him to the ground, and he was detained. They made no mention of this at NBC. But this is, you know, Savannah Guthrie, what her mom's been through. She's on that show, too. This is a warning to anyone out there in this business. The game has changed. People hate us. They love us, but they hate us. And will do anything to hurt us. And the folks who write the checks may not want to pay, but they better think about lives could be lost. No exaggeration. This is serious, serious, serious stuff. Thankfully, everyone's okay.